Greetings, this is Nigeria, and you are UrbanBuzzMag.com. And I have Will with the exclamation point on the line with me. He has a new single called Till We Land, kind of, you know, savvy, sexy. So, Will, let us know what's going on with you.
Hey, what's going on? Thank you. First of all, Nigeria, thank you for having me on your platform. I really appreciate it. It's a blessing to be invited on such a platform like yours. So
thank you so much.
Yeah. Like you were saying, I just dropped a single called Till We Land. If you like nostalgic records, you know, a lot of people, they keep saying, oh, R&B is dead, R&B is dead. You know, I'm tired of hearing that. So, you know, I'm just bringing y'all some of this good R&B. You know, with a message and with some feel good intention, you know, talking about love, talking about romance, talking, you know, sexy vibes, but with the new school phonics and the sultry tone of a voice. So hopefully you guys enjoy it. I think they're getting good, some good motion so far. So good, you know.
Yeah.
We just charted number 28. 48 hours after we released it, we charted number 28 on the Amazon UK charts, R&B charts. So, you know, we're just pushing to get it up and get it higher, you know?
Yeah. Well, one thing I like about you, I love your style. I love your performance. I just love everything about you. And I see you already mentioned that old school vibe. So who are some of your influences?
Ooh, I have a lot of influences, but I usually tell people my Mount Rushmore. So I try to keep it to four.
Okay.
And so let's say for my Mount Rushmore, I would say that Stevie, uh-huh, Wonder is on there. Marvin Gaye, Luther Vandross, and Bob Marley. Those are I was into their catalog heavy before I went anywhere else. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So I would say those are the first four. Yeah.
What inspired you to sing? Were you doing something before? Is singing a calling? What inspired you to go into becoming a singer?
My dad was a musician. He actually played or sang on a Roy Ayers record back in the day.
Okay.
I don't think he ever got paid for it, so he kind of always tells that story. It was a little disdain. But he was a musician, and his friends were musicians. He played the trombone. He was in a horn section in a big band in New York.
Oh, okay.
For a while, I would go to his rehearsals from time to time and kind of just pick up on what was going down. I have two older sisters. I'm the youngest of three.
Uh-huh.
And my two older sisters were singers, and my dad would have us all downstairs. I tell the story all the time, man. It's crazy. My dad would have us all downstairs in his little studio, people didn't have really home studios back then.
Right.
You know, he had his little studio at the house. You know, he would ask my sisters, hey, sing this note. You know, sing this note. You know, Tamika, sing this note. And then I'd be like, yo, like, what note can I sing? But I was young, so he would kind of like, nah, you too young.
To
do this. So I would go, I'd be like, all right, cool. And I would go on the other side of the basement and I would pop in VHS tapes of like Michael Jackson. And I would just go in and I would just be singing and dancing for hours. Because I was like, man, y'all finna let me in. Y'all finna talk. You know what I'm saying? So, as I grew up, I just kind of leaned into the sports. For y'all that don't know, I'm 6'5", actually, in real life. So I was really heavily into sports. I was a three-sport athlete, and then I got hurt playing football, got to college, and was just really, so I kind of got into it late, really. I got to college, and I had done talent shows and things like that up to this point,
mm-hmm,
but it just got to, by the time I got to college, I was like, all right, well, I want to do some extracurricular stuff. I can't just be a student.
This
is boring. So I was like, maybe I should start leaning back into the music. And ended up starting a boy band. We called ourselves New Harmony. We was killing it. We killed the campus. I was like the Beyonce of the group. It was real fun, man. It was a fun time. You know, I would go down to Houston with my homeboy Chris Mitchell, who really put me on the live music scene because I wasn't really into that at the time. But he really took me out and come sing at this spot. Come sing at the Red Cat. And I finally went out there with him one time and I sang something. And then brought the house down, and I was like, okay, wait a minute. I might be on to something. Let me try this again. You know, I went out there the next weekend and brought the house down. I said, I might be pretty good at this music thing. Maybe I should keep going.
Right.
You know,
right.
So I never look back.
You got New York roots, Houston roots, Atlanta roots.
Yeah.
When you think about that, Latin roots. When you think about that, how do you combine those cultures together?
That's a good question. I would say conversation.
Okay.
You know, a lot of times I will sit down because I feel like, you know, a key to a good song is making it relatable and making it something that not only people want to sing along to, but people can sing along. Like, people are not going to want to sing along to something that they don't relate to, you know, but even if the melody is dope, and sometimes they will. But I think the ones that resonate the best with us are the ones that do both. They have a strong melody, and they relate to the audience who are listening and consuming that song. So to get there, I think it's a conversation, which normally is the way that I write my songs. I usually will sit down with my collaborators, and we'll just have conversations, man. What are we feeling right now? What do you feel like talking about?
Right.
Like, what do you feel like discussing? And sometimes it's, you know, hey, you know, until we land, it was like, hey, man, what do you feel like discussing? Like, man, I just came back from Europe. Europe was amazing.
Right.
Like, it was a great trip. Let's write a song about it.
Right, okay.
And that's exactly what we did. we still say what we intend to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how.
That's good. I love your Mount Rushmore when you said Stevie, Marvin, Luther, and Bob Marley. One of the things that I could say about them is that, you know, Stevie definitely always has a message, very politically active in sending messages through his songs. You have Marvin likewise, and Luther is definitely an excellent storyteller. And one of the things I always loved about Luther is that when he sings, you feel like I could sing along with him. Like when you say, I'm listening to Michael Jackson, all these great people, and I'm including you in this from listening to your music, like even 9 to 5, you know, love, like a little storytell, you know, and you have the catchy hooks where I can sing along with you and like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we definitely need that now. But I was getting to the point of, do you have any messages in any of your songs that we can relate to some of the climate activities of the things that's going on in the world today, or do you kind of stay away from that?
That's a good question, Nigeria. I've kind of, it's not that I've stayed away from it on purpose. I think it's come up many times, and for whatever reason, I think I've stopped myself from releasing those records or whatever the case may be. But I think it's time for me. I think now in the era that I'm in, now I find myself feeling more urged to write those type of records. And I think that when the right time comes along and there's a right moment for me to write something that is epic and means something and it is true and it is deep, I will definitely drop that.
Not only do you write, sing, you produce, and you have a band, so let's switch to the producing part. How did you get into producing? Was that just trial and error?
Heck yeah. I feel like that's how we all get into it. It's like, no, I don't think I ever intended to be a producer. Production and said to myself, man, I want to be a producer. I never had that moment.
Right.
I think for me, and I'll tell you another story, where I grew up, in Spring Branch, Texas.
Uh-huh.
So that's a suburb right outside of Houston. And in Houston at the time, if you know anything about Houston culture, every rap group in Houston had the one singer.
Okay.
Charlie Boy, you know what I'm saying? They had Charlie Boy, who else? They had Big Mo. They always had the one singer in the group. So we had a rap group that I was a part of, and I was the one singer.
Okay.
And I was the one sitting there in the group. They would pull out these beats, and, you know, they would always want me to sing on these things. And I'm like, man, this thing is not, it's in a different key. You know, I can't really work out the melody where I want. Like, I can't, I don't know, I don't understand. Like, and then they looking at me crazy, like, man, you need to do this. You know, I'm like, man, I don't know how to describe it to y'all because y'all just rapping, but I can't hit these notes, like, in this key. I need to change the key.
Right.
We didn't have any of what we knew how to do now where we could just change the key of what we were doing just pretty quickly, just the beat.
Right.
But so I had to then start teaching myself, well, why was I uncomfortable? And then that's how I learned. I was like, okay, well, I learned about pitches and I was learning more about just more of the theory of music and understanding how music theory operates.
Wow.
And then I started getting intrigued. I was like, well, if I could do this, then why don't I have an instrument? Maybe I could learn how to, you know. So I asked my mom for a guitar. My mom didn't have a whole lot of money. My grandfather ended up getting me a guitar, and I still have that guitar today. And I named it after him. And that was the first instrument I ever had. And I started learning how to play guitar.
Wow.
And I started just kind of playing stuff just randomly. One of the first songs that I ever wrote was on guitar. It was a song called Shoot My Way, which is on my very, very first project when I was releasing music under a different name. I didn't play the guitar that was on there, but I wrote the chords and stuff like that. And
wow.
Then I ended up having a real guitar player. Yeah. So okay. I learned how to kind of get it around a little bit. And then when I got to college, you know, we used to have these music rooms where it had all these different rooms with pianos in them, and then they also had all these different rooms with garage bands.
Right.
And so that kind of led me to, like, one day I just had an epiphany. I was like, yo, I can take what I'm playing right now on the guitar and play it on the piano. I want to play the piano anyway.
Right.
And then I kind of left the guitar. I started playing the piano and started learning more about the piano and learning more about, and then, you know, as I'm sitting in there, hours at a time. I mean, when I tell you, I was sitting there until my fingers were numb. I'd be in there so long that I would stand up and then realize I was hungry and my blood tripping. Like, oh, God. I need to eat. Like,
I love that story. That's creators 101. Like, when you a creator, people don't really understand our story, I tell you, they don't. And I remember those days too. You just get so engrossed in what you're doing, you forget. The only time you really go is when your bladder is like, hey, I gotta pee, you know?
Right.
And
right.
It's like, yeah. That grind is for real.
That grind is for real. Just learning there, that led me to going to the other room and learning GarageBand. And I was like, all right, well, let me get up off the piano, but I need beats for that. Play with a rock band and figure out how to make beats.
Right.
And then from there, you know, we kind of, and I'll never forget it. I used to pay this guy named Keith Rowell. I did a play, ensemble play in Houston. He was the house musician. He was a keyboard player.
Uh-huh.
And we chopped it up, He was an older guy, man, but I used to pay him like $50. We ended up working out a situation where I would pay him $50 to drive from Huntsville to Houston, which is about an hour. I would drive from Huntsville to Houston an hour, pay this guy $50 just to sit in front of his computer because he was the only person I knew in the world that had Pro Tools.
Oh, okay.
So I would work on Pro Tools. I would just learn, and he would teach me Pro Tools. Like, every now and again, he'll pop in the room and be like, he'd be like, are you good? And I'm like, man, I don't know how to do this. I've been trying to figure this out for 20 minutes. Like, you know, and he'd be like, all right, come on, let me show you how to do this. And you know, kind of teach me a little bit about how to produce in there and so on and so forth. I mean, I really got it out of the mud. Like, nobody really ever taught me. You know, I learned things along the way, obviously.
Right.
But no, I never had any real formal training. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank God
that someone took the time to teach you. I swear I love stories like that. So salute to the gentleman who helped you. The only way we are truly able to succeed in this industry is when we help one another. And when you're teachable, it's like super amazing of how far you can go. Now, throughout all your experiences, you have 4 projects, you have 3 singles out in rotation now. You're doing this independently. What has been some key things you've learned along the road that today you're like, I got this. I think I know what I'm doing, right? Because everything, we're still growing. You're still going to grow. Mm-hmm. But how you said, absolutely, when you mentioned, when I mentioned about a song and it being political, and you was like, well, it's not like I don't want to do it. Now you feel, so maybe there was just a level of maturity and a level of, if I do do this, then am I mature enough to be bold enough to stand my stand and respond properly to it, right? And will my fans understand this is how I feel? And what happens is, that's how you feel, and then that song becomes huge, because guess what? That's how we all feel. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So what have you learned right now, today, that you feel you're at a right level as a singer, songwriter, and producer?
Ooh, man, this is a great question, Algeria. I think the experience that I've gained up to this point has taught me a few things. I think the first thing is to never stop getting better at your craft.
Yes.
There was a point for me where I did, where I stopped. I stopped learning. And it wasn't that I wanted to. I just stopped learning. I just was like, all right, well, you know, other things consume my time.
Right.
And then, you know, you realize you decrease those abilities, and you gotta kind of put them back. You know, so never stop learning. Never stop working on your craft. Because for the people who are out there, and I feel like I'm one of them, for the people who are out there who have been doing it for a long time, and have had opportunities presented to them and been in places and done things, you know, you kind of realize at some point, okay, well, maybe I thought I was ready at this point, but I wasn't quite ready. Now that I know what I know now, like, oh yeah, you know.
Right.
Me 8 years ago was not ready for, like, I can tell you right now, I would, if I had to hire me 8 years ago, I'd be like, hey bro, you're not ready for this. Not yet.
Right.
Get ready for it. Keep getting better, but you're not ready for it yet. So I think that just getting better at my craft every day is a big thing that I've learned. Two, the thing that I've learned is that you kind of have to, you have to be a little bit of a chameleon.
Okay.
You gotta kind of have to know a little bit of everything. Even if you're not the best at everything,
right,
you kind of gotta know a little bit of anything. And I think that a person, like, some people don't like them, you know, whatever you, but you need to say whatever you want. But I think his story is very inspirational. Tyler Perry.
Right.
Tyler Perry could, you know, he could direct a movie, and then he could also tell the janitor what type of solution to use. Or, you know, to clean the floor.
Right.
And I kind of view myself in that aspect. You know, I have a team that helps me put my sound equipment together and put my backline together, but they all know that I can do it myself.
Right. I love it.
You know, but they know that they're there because, you know, everybody has a job to do. But they're fully aware, like, hey, Will can run this thing from top to bottom on his own if he needs to. He understands how all of this, and I'm saying all that to say that now I'm in a position where before somebody could have charged me an exorbitant amount of money, where if you're an independent artist, you're trying to keep costs low.
Right.
And if somebody tried to charge you an exorbitant amount of money that's way above your budget to do a thing, you know what I'm saying? It's like, man, and then you find out, which I have, and then you find out how easy that thing is. It's like, damn, man, I spent $1,600 for this guy to connect some cables.
Right.
I can't do that.
You know, let me tell you, that is so true. Let me tell you a story. I went to my mechanic, right? And he was like, oh, you need an air filter. So I said, I need an air filter.
Oh,
he was like, I said, how much is that going to cost? He was like, $85. I said, $85? Yeah. He was like, yeah, well, you know, I got to get the filter. That's what he said, just like that.
Right.
This man went to the back, got the filter, put my hood up. And I watch people. I have an engineering degree, so he puts takes the hood, he picks it out. The place where the filter was, he just kind of just popped it, put that filter in and closed it. Because I was like, I could have did that. You know what I'm saying? Like, all I had to do was buy the filter. And I paid this man $85. In seconds, he did it. Seconds. Yeah. I was tight.
Yeah.
So let's go into some of the songs we got on deck. So let's talk about the singles you have in rotation. And, you know, what inspired you? A lot of romance here, and we need that in the land. So kudos and thank you. Thank you. Nine to five, rotation, till we land. Tell us what got you in that groove.
Right. And, like I said, you know, I make love music a lot of times. Most of the time, I make love music. You know, stuff that people can move to, that people can sing along to, you know, that stuff that's going to put people in a good mood. You know, that's kind of what I do. And so 9 to 5 is definitely that. 9 to 5 is what I call a sticky record. I write a lot of sticky songs.
Mm-hmm.
And why I call it sticky is because that hook is going to resonate.
Right.
It's going to keep going in your head. You know, it's very difficult to get that out your head. What inspired that was that was kind of me coming off of a little downtime of not writing songs for a while, and I kind of came back, you know, with my homeboy Chris, one of my main collaborators, and we sat down and we started trying to just kind of piece an idea together. We just were like, yo, we wanted to feel like we listened to some other records, and we kind of devised like, all right, let's try to like give ourselves a spark and try to feel like figure out how we wanted to feel, and then that's kind of what sparked 9 to 5, and it was just. Man, I don't even remember where the idea of Work You Like a 9 to 5 came. I think it just popped up and
right.
just created around it. With Rotation was kind of a similar situation because a lot of our writing sessions, like I said, we'll sit down. We don't know what we're going to write about that day.
Right.
We'll sit down and we'll just kind of ask questions of each other, like, hey, what do we feel like, you know, how do we feel like approaching this record? And sometimes the record will give you what it'll give you what you need to do. I feel like Rotation was one of those. It just kind of spoke to me. It just kind of gave me...
Right.
And we just stuck with it. And we just matched the words to it. It was really fun to kind of get that idea out. And then, Till We Land, like I said, that's the most recent record. That was inspired by a trip to Europe. Again, sitting down, having conversations about what we want to talk about and what we want to express in this song, in this moment, is kind of where Till We Land came from. It was like, man, let's talk about something else. Like, let's talk about, like, and Chris kept telling me, he's like, you know, you ain't really gave them like that. You ain't really gave them that full-blown nostalgia yet. Like, you ain't gave them that big sweeping note. You ain't gave them that full thang-thang. Like, you know, something like that. And I was like, all right, we kind of came together on it one day, and it kind of fell a little flat. He actually threw out the idea of steps on your passport is just what you asked for. That's what he did.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, I like that line. Like, and that's kind of the line that kind of sparked the rest of the song. But he gave me that line, and then we wrote the second line to it. And then I think maybe we wrote one other line, and then we dispersed for a little bit. And I think I sat down with it one day and was like, man, let me just try to work this record because I really feel like there's some good in here. But it was to a different beat, actually. It was to a different beat. And then I came back in and I threw some different chords down. I was like, let me try this in a different way. I threw some different chords in. And that's when the Stamps of Your Passport, like the melody changed and it went to, Stamps of Your Passport is, that's what you asked for. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
All right, that sounds terrible. But yeah. So we did that line, and that line kind of developed the rest of the record. I sat down and really thumbed through the lyrics and just kind of tried to talk about my experience overseas and talk about what it felt like to be overseas with my girl.
Right.
And that's kind of where that whole thing was developed. Definitely wanted to put a nice 90s bridge in there.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because I said I didn't want to tell him that you have a definitely 90s sound. I mean, it's good. Yeah. I was like, okay, you know, yeah. Definitely a vibe, and I love it. And you know, we need it.
Awesome. Yeah. You know. And it's on purpose. I mean, it's on purpose. I know a lot of people, you know, I've heard a lot of people from time to time tell me, oh, man, but you need to do it like this. You need to do it like what these people are doing. No. These days. I'm like, man, I'm doing it like this on purpose. Like, I could do that too, but I'm doing it like this on purpose.
That's what you want to do. You ain't got to argue with nobody, debate, you know? Oh, yeah. You know? No, I mean, it sounds good. It sounds good.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Now, I love the collaboration with you and Chris. Tell me more about the band, because now that's kind of studio, so the band is live, so you're doing both. Like, you're able to be in the studio and you're able to do live, and I'm sure you like live better, but tell me about the band. How did you start the band, and give us a little background.
So, man, the band, how I ended up starting this band, it's funny that you said that. Yeah, I absolutely love live. I love it, love it, love it. That's me. That's the beginning. Excuse me. That's the beginning of everything is live. So, you know, I love the stage. But we started the band as a musician. There's only a couple of ways to like make steady money. You're either touring, you're either at church, or you're doing corporate band work. I was in a corporate band, and I was the face of a corporate band for about 6 years, 6 or 7 years. And then after the pandemic hit, me and the band manager, we got into a little argument over the vaccine situation. Mm-hmm. And then he basically kind of let me go from the band. He said he didn't want me to come back to the band.
Right.
And I was like, okay, that's interesting, right. Because your marketing material is, I'm all up in three, our marketing material. Let's see how y'all gonna do.
Right.
So I got off the phone with him, and I picked up the phone, and I called a guy named Ryan Stewart. Shout out to Ryan Stewart, that's my guy. I had just subbed for him for a couple of his bands here and there throughout the 6 years that I was with the other band.
Okay.
And when I got off the phone with him, I told him, I was like, hey, man, this is what's going on with my work situation and my band, and, you know, just let me know if you got anything for me. He was like, man, I thought you owned your band. And I was like, well, I'm in all the marketing materials, and I was like, and I did have another band that I started, but I started and put the promotional materials out right at the pandemic hit. I said, so it shut everything down. Nobody was booking anything anyway, so all that money, all that effort, all that investment just went for nothing.
Man.
And he said, well, damn, like, I can get you. He said, well, I know you can put a band together. I've seen you do this many, many times. If you feel like you can put a band together, like, you should be all in a band anyway. That should have happened a long time ago. He was like, I'll connect you with the agency and we'll make it work.
Wow.
And that's how it happened. And I said, absolutely, let's do it. And he was a man of his word. And he said, let me see if I can get us a meeting with the agency. And in a couple of months, that was in October. I think we had a meeting in December with the agency. And then throughout from December of 21 till all of 2022, we were just doing production, devising plans, trying to figure out what the band was going to look like, how we were going to pitch the band, all these different things, and then actually developing the video and producing the video and then getting the video together. And then we finally started booking at the very top of January 2023. Mm. And we were the fastest booked band in the agency's history. We got more gigs in our first year of existence than most of those other bands had. Either had started building already before they got, and then they just signed up to the agency, or they were a brand new project like us that started with the agency, but we were the very first brand new project that was able to book as often as we were able to book on our first year out. So we already started breaking up. And God really, really showed out on that one.
And what's the name of the band?
It's called Will and the Exclamation. So I'm Will with the Exclamation, and my band is Will and the Exclamation.
I love it. I love it, man. Yeah, this is. And well, let me just tap in with the apparel you got. I kind of like it. I like it. I was like, oh, yeah. Okay. I see you. Yeah. I see you.
I appreciate it. We gotta hit all the angles.
Listen, yeah, I want everybody listening to support Will. I mean, you know, this is what we do here. We want to encourage people. First of all, we're not bringing you people whose music you're not gonna like. That's one. Okay, so go check them out.
That part.
Right, that part. So we need your support. What's hurting me now is watching the industry full-fledged fall apart. And I was saying to a friend of mine, I said, I'm so glad that people who I asked to help me didn't help me, because, you know, what they going through in the industry now, I'm just like, whew, I missed that bullet of association. So sometimes, you know, listening to your story, I was like, that's right. When you're independent and you got to learn to do things on your own and people tell you no, don't even get mad at no more. No is going to be that catapult you to your success. Trust me, I am a witness. And I am that story, and Will is that story, and people will see your sincerity, and they will extend a hand and an olive branch. And one thing I always say, true talent can never go unnoticed. It does not go unnoticed. People may try to ignore you, but it cannot go unnoticed. So, well, as we say here, once a key player, always a key player. As you continue to grow and prosper doing music and performing at shows with your band, please let us know. Let us continue to be one of your media outlets and partners, and let people know how they can reach out to you on social media or your website or book you.
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, thank you again, Nigeria. Thank you for having me on your platform. I absolutely will want to stay in contact with you, and whenever you come to Atlanta or if I come out there, you know what I'm saying, we definitely got to tap in each other.
Okay.
Everybody, you guys can find me at all social media at Yo That's Will, and that's YOTHATSWILL, Yo That's Will, on all platforms, on Instagram, on Twitter, on TikTok. If you want to search for my music, search on Apple Music, any DSP, any major digital streaming platform, you can find me at Will, W!LL. So turn the I upside down and put an exclamation point there. So W!LL. That's how you can find me everywhere. You can buy my merch at www.theexclamationstore.com. Check out the merch. The merch is really fantastic, man. You guys are going to like it, especially if you like some of my records. If you like my records, we got some merch that's tied directly to some of the records. So, and some other things that, you know, just as musicians and content creators, we're going to love. So check out the site, www.theexclamationstore.com.
I love it. Thank you so much for rocking with us. And y'all make sure y'all support my boy.
Hey, and y'all support Nigeria. Y'all already here supporting them, but support us some more.
Facts.